Don't just go out there blindly. Don't just spend all of your time, all of your effort on a single piece of content, put it out there to find out it doesn't work. Because then you're left without learning anything. You're not growing as a brand. You're not growing as either an entrepreneur or within your organization or corporation.
You're listening to Real Marketing Real Fast, the only podcast that brings you unfiltered, undaunted, insider information on the latest tools and technologies for online marketers. Prepare to dive deep into marketing myths, breakthrough models, and cutting-edge strategies that will have an immediate impact on the growth of your business. And now, here's your host, marketing expert Doug Morneau.
Well, welcome back, listeners, to another episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. And today, this is going to be a real fast episode. I look forward to introducing you to our guest, Brendan Kane. Now, Brendan was recommended to me as a guest, and I looked at his bio and his background. I was super impressed and excited. And then during the interview, he just totally blew me away. So if you are looking for a way to seriously crush your competitors, have massive growth in your business, and outperform everybody else in your space, you need to tune in, pull over your car, get out your notepad, and take some notes. He's going to cover some topics today on how to grow your business, grow your social media presence, but more importantly, on how to get engagement and move the sales dial. So Brendan is a digital marketing and business strategist. He works for Fortune 500 companies, he works for global brands, and he works for many celebrities who you will recognize. He started his career in the entertainment industry, managing digital divisions for two prominent movie studios. He went on to build applications and platforms and campaigns for many celebrity clients such as Taylor Swift, Rihanna, Katie Couric, Michael Strahan, Jason Statham, and supermodel Adriana Lima. Now, today, Brendan is best known for his recently building 1 million followers in 100 countries in less than 30 days. He's passionate about helping his clients find new ways to engage new audiences worldwide, and he's driven global growth for brands like MTV, Viacom, Yahoo, Rihanna, Taylor Swift, and Katie Couric. He's here today to share his framework and his knowledge for leveraging digital platforms to grow your brand and my brand quickly and efficiently. So with that, I'd like to welcome Brendan to the Real Marketing Real Fast podcast today. How's it going?
It's going great. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it, Doug.
Hey, super excited to connect today. I mean, anybody who doesn't know you will be excited when they're done with the episode, and having had a chance to creep through some of your social media accounts and look at your background. You've had some massive success, and I also see that you've got a book, which I will order when we're done the episode today. So do you want to share with us a little bit of, you know, how you got started and how you've had such massive, massive success and such a competitive business?
Yeah, it's a great question. So how I got started, I've been in digital for about 15 plus years, and my background's quite diverse in the fact that I have pretty much touched every aspect of digital over the years because I'm with a mindset that I want to be constantly testing, challenging myself, learning new things. So I started off in the entertainment industry. And the funny story is I actually went to film school to learn the business side of film. And I quickly realized they don't teach you anything about business in film school. So I figured the best way to actually learn about business is to start your own. And the most cost-efficient way at the time, and it still holds true today, is to start internet companies. So I started a few internet companies while I was going to school to really learn and experiment and just get a firm grasp of what it actually takes to build a business. And then when I moved out to LA in about 2005 to pursue a career in film, it's when the entertainment industry started to reawaken to digital after the dot-com bust. So basically, I've leveraged all that knowledge that I had gained in creating those internet companies to really get my foot in the door and gain projects and forge connections. So I started off in the entertainment industry, managing digital divisions for two movie studios, overseeing the theatrical campaigns of films ranging from $15 to $100 million budgets. And that also afforded me the opportunity to work with actors, directors, celebrities firsthand on the films that we were working with. And then I quickly got bored with the corporate structure of the film industry. Everybody thinks it's this fast-moving creative space, but I found that I was asking for permission more than actually creating and building things. So I left and started building technology platforms that I was licensing out to major media companies. So I built platforms and licensed them to the likes of MTV, Viacom, Yahoo, Vice. And those partnerships and licensing opportunities opened the doors to work with some of the largest celebrities on the planet. So that's where, like, I got to work with Taylor Swift for about 2.5 years and build technology platforms for her and her team through a joint venture partnership with MTV. And then from there, when the success we had with Taylor Swift led to building a technology platform for Rihanna and so on. And those opportunities really opened up my eyes in terms of organic growth and really understanding how to get people to share content at the highest possible velocity. So when you talk about Taylor Swift, what few people realize is that she built her fan base one by one herself. She didn't have a huge record label. She didn't have millions of dollars of marketing budget. So that experience really taught me how to tap into brand advocates and get to fuel word of mouth sharing. And that's what really seeded the idea and kind of the journey for the past 7 or 8 years to focus on shareability around content. And then from there, I went to help build one of the largest paid optimization firms in the world, where we would manage spend for Fortune 500 companies, brands at the largest scale. And it was really an eye-opening experience, because I'm sure you've seen this, is we would have the biggest brands in the world come to us and say, here's a piece of content we just spent hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars on, and we want to spend another $1 million promoting it to a specific audience. Let's say it's females 35 to 50 years old. And when you ask them, well, how do you know whether or not that piece of content is going to resonate with that audience? 9 times out of 10, they didn't have the analytics or data to support that decision. They were essentially just betting all this money on the hopes that their creative hunch would pay off. And I kept seeing this over and over again, and it was a reoccurring theme. So I knew there's got to be a better way to go about this instead of just risking all this money. Because for a huge corporation or a huge brand, yes, you can lose on one of those bets, but doing it over and over again, your company will ultimately fail. And also, the smaller companies or startups, they can't risk all that money.
Yeah, that's right.
So I left working in that media company and started building a set of testing methodologies and predictive calculations on top of the Facebook and Instagram advertising platform, so I could really test content at scale and really understand what content themes, formats, and stories resonate with the specific audience that you're trying to reach. So you don't have to risk all this money to really understand how to package your content and really get intelligent about what it's going to take to engage your audience. So I spent about 3.5 years building that and started working with the brands and corporations again, and also started to apply it to individuals like professional athletes, journalists, and celebrities, and was seeing a lot of success in that capacity of testing content at scale and really understanding what content themes, formats, and stories work to really generate an intended response from the audience that you're trying to reach. And it seeded an idea in my head. It's great for a celebrity or a huge corporation where I generated a lot of success. But what about the rest of us? What about people that are starting from scratch, whether you're an individual, a startup, a brand, or even somebody within a corporation that's just launching a new product and you're literally starting from ground zero? Like, how do you go about that? And I wanted to see what was possible and taking all the learnings over all those experiences, in addition to really understanding whether this success that I was seeing through this process I had developed could be applied from somebody starting from zero. And when I thought, who would be the perfect person to run this experiment on, I thought, why not myself? Because I'm definitely not a professional athlete. I've never been on television or film. And I guarantee you I'm not a rock star because I can't carry a tune. I won't even do karaoke. So I figured I'm going to go off and do this. So I took all of those learnings that I had generated. And over the course of 30 days, I used the process and everything I learned from Taylor Swift, these brands and corporations, and proceeded to generate 1 million followers in 100 countries in less than 30 days. So that was the culmination of all these experiences and what I had learned over the years, applying it to myself to not really become a celebrity or an influencer, but to see if I could use this process and share this information with the world.
That's amazing. I mean, those numbers are absolutely crazy. And one of the things I noticed even on your Instagram account is, you know, when I look at social media, I'm really looking for engagement or people engaging and commenting, not how many followers you have or however you may have acquired them.
Yeah, engagement's the most important thing, because what I tell people is specifically when it comes to large numbers is generating 1 million followers is only half the battle. Like, your job is not done, because generating 1 million followers in a short period of time is very different than generating over the course of years. But I also see with certain clients that I work with that you'll see a huge corporation that'll have millions of followers, but only 100 people liking a post. And what's the real value at the end of the day of having this huge following, having this huge audience, if you can't engage them around the content you're producing?
Yeah, absolutely. So how does somebody get started? I mean, those numbers are really scary. And, you know, I don't know what the numbers are today, but I remember at one point saying the average person had 500 connections on Facebook. So there's a big difference between 500 and a million, obviously. So for our listeners that are tuning in going, hey, I would love to have my social media grow. I'd like to have it organic. I'd like to be able to sell stuff and connect. You know, what's kind of the starting point, the first thing you should consider doing?
Yeah, so the baseline of the system that I've developed, I really break it down into three key steps. It's an adaptive process, it's an agile process. So the first step is really setting a hypothesis. So what is the content theme, format, or story that you think is going to best represent your brand, your product, or your service? And once you've identified that hypothesis, then the second step of this adaptive process is the testing phase, where we create a low-cost proof of concept that represents the hypothesis that we just set forth. And when I say low cost, I mean low cost. I don't want my clients spending thousands or tens of thousands of dollars on content because we're really in this testing phase and we really need to figure out what works. So whatever that agile process that you can do to set up to create that low cost proof of concept, whether that's using stock photos, stock videos, or even just sticking yourself in front of an iPhone camera just to record the hypothesis that you set forth so that you can quickly go and test and validate whether it holds true, whether you're able to generate the intended response that you're looking for from your audience, whether that is purchasing a product, clicking, commenting, sharing, whatever that may be. And then the third step of this adaptive process is really analyzing the results, analyzing the data and the response from the low-cost proof of concept that you just created. So did it generate the intended response you were looking for? Did it generate a click? Did it generate a purchase? Did it generate a share? Whatever that response that you were looking for. If it didn't, then you start that process all over again. You set a new hypothesis, you test, and you pivot. And you do that over and over again until you find the hypothesis that holds true and generates the intended response that you're looking for. And once you have that, then you can scale and see if you can produce more content, invest more in that direction, and see if it keeps producing the results that you're looking for. So at a high level, that's what I always advise people to do is really embrace and generate this testing methodology, this testing process to ensure that you're not just producing content and spending all your time on a few pieces of content and not learning anything, but to create this system within your organization, within your small business, or even if you're doing it yourself, so that you can get really intelligent about the content that you're producing.
Now, do you use a technology to do this? Because I mean, I've heard you say several times that you built technology platforms for several of your clients. So is this a manual process that, you know, a marketing manager might try to set up for a new brand? Or is this a piece of technology they would license from you to set up and use?
Yeah, so that's a great question. When we talk about testing, there's a few different ways to go about it. So the system that I've built, I've actually built on top of the Facebook and Instagram advertising platform, because the technology they built is extremely robust and extremely in-depth. And I use that advertising platform not really as a media buying tool, but more as a market research tool, because you can control every single element of the content that you're pushing out. So when I look at testing, I break it down into key five elements of a variation. So with the variation, the first element we have is the actual content itself. So when we have a video or a photo, we try and create as many variations or elements of that as possible. So for example, with videos, with Facebook and Instagram, you have less than 3 seconds to capture your audience's attention. Because the fact of the matter, there's over 60 billion messages sent on digital platforms each day. If you don't capture them in the first 3 seconds, you've lost your audience. So what we'll do with that first element of a variation is we'll create as many variations of it as possible. So we'll test the first 3 seconds, multiple versions of the first 3 seconds versus putting a meme card or a headline at the top of the video burned in versus putting captions, the color of the captions, in addition to what is the outro of it? Do you ask them to take a specific step? Do you ask them to register their email versus sharing and testing all of those different elements? The second part of a variation is the headline description where you're describing your piece of content. So we'll test as many variations of that. And then the third element of these variations is the demographics. You can control whether you're pushing it to males or females or to a specific age group and test those against each other. And then the fourth one is the interest level. It's like, what are these people interested in? What type of products and services do they buy? What competitors are they engaging with? What types of music and television do they consume? What type of cars do they drive? Are they college educated? Are they single? Are they married? And then the final one is the geolocation, like what part of the world they live in, all the way down to the specific zip code. And because you can control all of those variables, you can interchange each and every single one of them to create new tests. So literally, you can take one piece of content and create hundreds of variations by interchanging, whether that's the age and gender, the headline, the geolocation, the interest level. And that's where the real scale comes from. So when I talk about when I generated 1 million followers in 100 countries in 30 days, I tested over 5,000 variations of content in that 30-day time period. And that sounds like a huge number, but because the Instagram and Facebook platforms are built to scale and you can control all these variables, again, you can take one piece of content and create hundreds of variations of it and test every single way to position it to really maximize the potential of it. And the way that I like to look at it is it really gives you more chances to win. Instead of just putting one piece of content out there and just hoping it works, is that you can create as many variations of that content in the giving you more chances to win and generate the intended response from the audience that you're looking for.
Yeah, I'm super excited about this. I mean, we used to do this when we started doing multivariate testing just for landing pages and trying to convince clients of copy because everybody's got an idea, like you said, of what they think is going to work. So for those listeners that are using an agency, the agency goes off in isolation and creates something and pitches you and says, this is it. Like you said, you've spent the money, but you don't really know if it's going to work, but you're likely to apply a huge budget to one piece of content. That's really brilliant. I'd never seen or heard anybody do this sort of scale for digital. That's really, really, really cool.
Yeah, and I can give you a specific example that's kind of interesting. I can't tell you the name of the company because it would kind of make them look bad. But I was brought in by a major technology media company, which if I told you the name, you would know the name of it. And I was brought in by one of their top thought leaders within the organization. And I had looked at the campaigns that they had done, and they had done a media campaign of about $500,000, and they had only tested 47 variations of content. I came in, I was given a $100,000 media budget, and I ended up testing 70,000 variations of content. And just off that $100,000 budget, I was able to save them over $31 million in traffic acquisition costs, just using this agile process of constantly testing every single element of the content that they were producing and taking that testing to really learn what it would take to get people to share their content at the highest possible velocity. And then once we figured out how to get them to share, then we were able to redirect that traffic and maximize that earned lift and drive it out to the media destination that we were trying to optimize for.
Well, and I think the other thing, listeners, that you need to think of is that you may not be hugely focused on social. Maybe that's not your platform, but if you can get your message right, then you could, I'm assuming, Brendan, you can take this learning and you can apply it to other forms of media if you're going to do print or buy digital ads or do email or whatever else you may do for media buys.
Yeah, you can apply it to anything. So one of the clients I was advising is Skechers, which is a shoe company, and they still primarily, their medium is television and print. So I worked with them to leverage these testing methodologies on social to really test the images and videos so that they can have a clear indication of where should they, what images should they be using, what products should they be putting in print. Because as you know, once you're in print or once you're on television, that feedback loop is not as immediate.
Yep.
So you can leverage this to really test and understand what products you should be putting out there, what versions of those products, what creative should you be using in print publications, in television, on billboards, or any offline medium?
Yeah, and it's just probably even on your landing pages. Once you know what content resonates, if you're driving traffic through ads to a landing page, so once you get them to make the click and they show up, it needs to be congruent so they can follow the process through and eventually put their credit card in.
100%.
So what other learnings have you had? I mean, this is, you know, massive scale. So for a lot of people, it's overwhelming to listen to that. So, you know, you're saying test and get and you know, look at testing at scale. So does your software do all the variations, or is this something that their technical or their creative people are going to have to create themselves?
No, so I built this set of testing methodologies on top of the Facebook and Instagram advertising platform because, as you know, building technology is extremely difficult.
Yep.
It's extremely difficult to manage, and the ecosystem is changing so quickly. So what I like to do is leverage platforms, technology platforms that are already in the marketplace where they're investing hundreds of millions of dollars on revamping it. Now, sometimes that becomes frustrating because you can't control the direction that they take the technology. But at the same time, it allows you to use these robust tools where people are literally focusing their daily lives on optimizing these platforms to make it easier for you to test. And yes, it sounds like a daunting task to test thousands of variations, but once you learn the system that we've developed, it becomes very easy to scale hundreds and thousands of variations. And I can tell you, it will bring you light years ahead of your competitors if you just take the time to learn the testing process and the methodologies that it takes to really understand how to package your content, what content themes and formats and stories best represent your product, your service, and brand. Now, with that said, you can start out very simple. Like, you don't have to use these advertising platforms as market research tool and test hundreds of variations. If you just start simply and start measuring that when you post organically a piece of content to your main feed, no matter what channel it is, just measure the results of it compared to the next piece of content. So if you post a piece of content on Monday, create a spreadsheet, write down the comments, shares, likes, view through rate that it generated versus the piece of content on Wednesday versus Friday. So that at the simplest level just starts getting you in the mindset of understanding and tracking your performance. And then once you start building that up and understanding how different pieces of content work and just starting to build up that momentum and that confidence, then you can move to that next level of, okay, how do we take this testing methodology to the next process or to the next level? But again, what I'm really just trying to instill in people is don't just go out there blindly. Don't just spend all of your time, all of your effort on a single piece of content, put it out there to find out it doesn't work, because then you're left without learning anything. You're not growing as a brand. You're not growing as either an entrepreneur or within your organization or corporation. Instill this process of really testing and learning what it takes to get somebody to share your piece of content, to click on it, to like, to comment, because that's really what's going to set you up for success in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's tough. I find it tough sometimes to convince people to test. So they'll spend huge budgets on buying digital media and say, well, why don't we do some testing? Well, no, just send this. And when we start testing, we notice really quickly the audience, how they responded to certain types of writers. So even just a simple copy test was, hey, our audience doesn't like somebody that's kind of middle of the road. They like the more contrarian. And that makes a huge difference because we're just applying a budget to two writers looking at which one converts the highest. So a test at the simplest level, and it made a huge difference in the client's sales.
Yeah, that's 100% spot on. The amazing thing with testing is you can change one small variable and it can have a huge impact. Just changing one word or a few words in a headline, we've seen make a dramatic impact on the performance of a piece of content. Or just changing like the headline on the top of a video, like the burn-in meme card, or adding captions, or taking a piece of content and testing the first 3 seconds of it has a huge impact. Like, one of the fascinating case studies that I've seen is, again, that first 3 seconds is so critical when it comes to Facebook and Instagram, because you only have that time period to really capture the audience's attention. Is the movie industry actually started to evolve their trailers online, where they'll create a 5-second trailer that actually plays before the trailer. So they'll have this first 5 seconds that's just jam action packed of quick cuts just to capture your attention so that you'll actually watch the rest of the trailer. So again, it's these small iterations and these small tests will pay huge dividends for your business or your brand.
Well, and I'd like to get some feedback from you too with regards to market research. And I'll just start with a short intro on that. I was at a session that was all about testing and optimization. It was put on by a number of companies that supply those tools in San Francisco. And they gave an example of Siemens, the guys who are making x-ray equipment. So their marketing team had gone out and done some market research with their potential customers, like the hospitals that are going to buy the equipment, and showed them all these different styles of ads and asked them which one they'd respond to. And then they actually ran the ads, and the ads that ran and got the conversion were totally contrary to what the market research had shown.
Yeah, that's a great point with market research. What I've learned is that what people say and what people do are two completely different things. So it's one thing to go off and ask somebody, what do you think about this product or service? Or would you buy this product or service? But that answer could be biased because they may just feel the pressure to answer a certain way, or they may not even understand at a subconscious level how they would react if they were actually put in the situation to buy that product or service. So that's really where I love to actually just tangibly test things in real time and actually put products, put services, put content in front of your core audience and actually measure the response in real time of how they actually engage with it. Because the difference between what people say, what people do are totally different. And again, it's just with the tools that you have available and with social and with digital, it's very easy to actually just put the content in front of people, put your products or services and actually measure the response from them in real time.
So what's some of the bad advice you hear, you know, about this in, you know, this part of the industry? So, you know, you probably attend lots of conferences and speak at lots of different groups. So what's some of the bad advice you hear?
So I'll talk about some of the experiences because it's interesting that I, as a digital strategist, I'm often brought into situations where companies have burned through hundreds of thousands and millions of dollars on ineffective strategies. So one of the issues that I see most prevalent with the clients I work with is they'll have an agency or an expert come in and sell them on a specific tactic that may not be right specifically for their business or service. So for example, you may have an SEO expert going into a business and all they know is SEO. So they're going to sell you the value in SEO when that company may need something different. They may need a social approach. They may need some additional technology or some additional elements to actually maximize the potential of a strategy like SEO. So one of the, again, the biggest mistakes I see people make is they're hiring experts on their specific field without looking at the holistic approach of their specific business and the objectives that they're trying to achieve and crafting a strategy that are specific to those objectives and goals. In addition, where I would say the one of the fundamental areas that I see people go wrong is they don't know the basic math of what they're trying to achieve because everything comes down to their return on investment. Like people always ask me, how much did it cost you to generate 1 million followers in 30 days? Well, that's not the real question you should be asking. It's like, what was the return on investment that you got from that?
Yeah, that's right.
Because I can tell you what if I told you that I spent $2,000 to generate 1 million followers in 30 days, but the return on investment was zero versus I spent $200,000 to generate 1 million followers and the investment was $1 million or the return on investment was $1 million. Like, which one of those would you take? Obviously, you would want to take the one that's generating $1 million return on investment. So when you're first starting out and you're crafting your social or your digital strategy, understand what are the metrics of your business. If you're selling a product, what is your profit margin? What can you afford to pay to acquire a new customer? And then once you have that information, then you can start determining the channels that are best for your business. Is it Facebook? Is it Instagram? Is it SEO? Is it pay-per-click advertising? Because then when you're going off and hiring an agency, you're hiring a contractor to help you grow in that specific channel, you can say, here are the core metrics of my business. Can your strategies fit within that? And if they say yes, be like, okay, what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you a 2-month trial period and let's see if we can hit that. And if we can't, you've got to figure out how to optimize those campaigns or those services that they're providing you to actually hit those core metrics. And if they don't, then you know you're not headed in the right direction with the right vendor, with the right agency, with the right contractor, or you may not be using the right platforms to grow your specific business.
Yeah, I mean, that makes so much sense. That comes back to basic marketing of knowing, you know, what your lifetime value of a customer is, what it does it take to acquire them, and then looking at your audience. Where is your audience? So if your audience isn't on Instagram, if they're on Reddit, then it doesn't matter how much you spend on Instagram, it's not going to work. So it's just, you know, like you said, and I say be tactic agnostic. It's what moves the sales dial, and it's not the same for everybody. But you're right. So if somebody, the VP of marketing is out at a seminar and he hears that SEO is the next best thing and hires an SEO guy, while it might improve their website, that may not be the best strategy for them to move the sales dial to achieve their first quarter goals.
And one of the other frustrating things that I see with clients is that, let's just say that Facebook or Instagram is the right growth channel for them. They'll hire a contractor or an agency that just underperforms and then it puts a bad taste in your mouth.
Yeah.
Now you think that Facebook or Instagram is not right for your business. So it's really critical for you to look at the growth channels that you think is right for your business and then make sure that you're testing different vendors in different ways or different agencies to achieve that. So just because one person fails in hitting your objectives and goals with a specific channel doesn't mean it's not the right fit for you. So you have to really balance that out. And one thing I always advise people to do as well is actually dive in there. Like if you think that Facebook or Instagram is going to grow your brand, learn as much as possible about that. Even if you're not going to manage it yourself on a daily basis, the more knowledge that you can gain of how these platforms work, whether it's organically or leveraging the paid platforms, the more intelligence you have to make the right decision on who you should hire to help grow your brand, grow your business, sell your products or services.
Wow. Yeah, that's super good advice. I mean, it just totally makes sense. I mean, I think that's why when we hire other agencies to work, because we have an understanding of what we're trying to achieve and a good understanding of the platform, I think it makes for a better partnership as well, because we can have a deeper discussion and look at different testing methods. Gary Vee recently just was on a rant about if you're not learning Facebook, he said your business is going to lose. And he said, for all of you who have said that Facebook doesn't work, he said your experience didn't work, but just try it again.
I couldn't agree more. People say Facebook's dead. Everybody's leaving Facebook. The fact of the matter is there's over 2.2 billion people on the platform.
Yep.
And it works if you know how to leverage the platform. If you know how to use it, there's so much scale there. Just with the clients I work on alone, I was able to push upwards of 8 to 9 million visitors a month outside of the platform using the tools. And the one of the reasons I love Facebook, it's really a democratic platform. It's all about just getting your content in front of people and they will share it for you. The platform's designed as a shareable platform. It's one of the few platforms out there that's all about just getting your content in front of the right people and they will spread your message for you versus Instagram and YouTube and Twitter and some of these other platforms. It's more of an algorithmic or an algorithmic play where you have to play to the algorithms in order to maximize the potential of those platforms. So by no means is Facebook dead. And if you have not generated the success that you're looking for, you're probably just using the platform wrong.
Yeah, that's funny. I'm laughing, you know, here in the studio because I've just published a book on email, Three Big Lies. And the first big lie is that it's dead. And what we do is we rent third-party data. So we get influencer brands to send out our clients' message. And people say, well, that doesn't work. So it doesn't work for you. But we spend hundreds of thousands of dollars a month doing it. And it works for our clients.
I couldn't agree more. Email is a huge valuable asset, especially when you're talking about e-commerce. So much product and services are sold through emails. And going back to Facebook, you can build massive email lists in a very short period of time if you know how to leverage the tools that the platform is built on. Like the level of scale that you can generate is enormous. Like I just started working with a first-time author and he was starting with zero emails and we took him to 11,000 emails and 11,000 email list in less than 7 days. And the power of email lists and those tools are just tremendous.
Well, and we'll do it. We'll work the other way sometimes. So, you know, we may have a big brand, maybe like a Washington Post or somebody like that, send out a message to their subscribers. So they send out 500,000 emails to people who like to receive their emails. And we'll pixel them with Facebook and with Google. So we have a chance to follow up and move them out of the email platform where we've rented the data into data that we control.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great strategy.
So what are you most excited about as it relates to kind of your business or technology, what you see coming in the next 6 to 12 months?
In terms of the next 6 to 12 months, some of the areas that I'm very bullish on is leveraging Facebook to generate enormous growth. So again, with the example of generating 1 million followers in 30 days presents a huge opportunity. Now we're extending those methodologies to Instagram and growth on Instagram, in addition to building massive email lists as well, so that you can really own that audience. And one of the things that I always talk to clients about is social is an amazing tool. It's an amazing platform to get your message out there, to get your voice heard, to get your products and services exposed to. But you also have to think about how you migrate that audience off of social channels to a place that you can own them, whether that is on your own website, whether that's building an email list, because that puts more power to you versus relying on these social platforms. Because one small change in the algorithm or one small change in any of these platforms, and you could be left trying to figure out the next big thing at the last minute and fighting to get that audience that you spent all this time and effort to build. In addition, one of the other areas that I'm very bullish on is looking at emerging markets. Because one of the biggest scales for major corporations and brands and celebrities is looking at emerging markets. Like, for example, with Facebook, people don't realize that India is their number one country in the world. there's about 260 million people in India on the Facebook platform. Yet there's over 1.3 billion people in the country, and India is going to become the world's largest population over the next 5 years. So you see some of the biggest companies and smartest people in the world, whether that's a Mark Zuckerberg in Facebook and Instagram, or an Elon Musk with Tesla, or companies like a Nike and a Coke, focusing on emerging markets because that's where the real growth potential is. And the interesting thing about WhatsApp, which was one of the largest tech acquisitions of all time, I don't remember the exact number, I think it was $17 or $18 billion. The reason it was acquired for that amount of money is because they had built up audience in all of the countries that Facebook didn't have, because Facebook already had saturation in US, Canada, Australia, the UK. But what WhatsApp did that was brilliant is they went to emerging markets. They went after India and all of these different companies or countries that didn't have the scale that Facebook did.
That's amazing. That's so cool. So tell us a little bit more about, before we get to where people can connect with you, kind of, some of the offerings you've got online. So, you know, I've looked at a few of your websites. I don't want to promote the wrong intent. So where should people go look for you to learn more, do business with you, and then talk about your book?
Yeah. So if they're interested in the book that breaks down a lot of this, they can go to 1millionfollowers.com, and one is spelled O-N-E. And if they want to dive further into the book, we're launching a new program where they can learn more about it at 1millionfollowers.com/growth, or they can just simply email me as well directly at my email is bseekers.com. So that's b@seekers.com, and seekers again is spelled seekers.com.
Cool. And tell us a little bit about your opt-in TV.
Yeah. So basically that's the program that we're launching, that where I've learned over the years that not one strategy works for everybody. So through that, I teach all of my methodologies, my processes of how I was able to gain 1 million followers in 30 days. But then what I also did is I went off and interviewed the top experts and partners that I have in different growth channels and the different growth strategies that they have. So for example, I interviewed a friend of mine that was able to build the largest comedy network in Europe that's generating over 400 million views a month, in addition to an influencer friend of mine that was able to generate 15 million followers in 15 months. And another friend that actually started a business out of our apartment about 10 years ago that's generating over 3 billion views a month organically. And it breaks down all of their strategies, methodologies, and the ways that they approach growth. Because really what I want to share with the world is multiple channels and multiple ways of achieving your specific goals and your aspirations. Because the last thing I want to see people do is just follow one specific piece of advice only to find out it doesn't work for what they're trying to achieve.
Yeah, absolutely. So maybe a slightly off-topic conversation or question. What do you see happening with the changes to policies for advertising on Facebook and Instagram? Recently, they banned specific sectors like no cryptocurrency, no medical marijuana, no CBD. Do you see that growing, or what do you see in the future?
It's a great question. It's a struggle. There's all these changes that are happening based on what happened with the election and political-based content being restricted. As you mentioned, cryptocurrency content being restricted, cannabis content being restricted, and the scrutiny that Facebook has been under from a political standpoint has really forced them to lock down what advertisers can do on the platform. And what I think is happening at this point is they're just trying to figure out how to police this, how to go about this, because with cryptocurrency and with the scale of advertising on these platforms, it's really impossible to police every single piece of content that goes out there.
Sure.
So I think what's happening from a technology standpoint is they're trying to get up to speed with how they can actually control the scale of people promoting products such as cryptocurrency, cannabis, and political-based content, so that they can ensure the integrity of their platform, ensure that people are not advertising malicious things, not getting them to opt into things where their data is going to be stolen, or people that are just going to be stealing people's money and running with it. So I think it's going to take some time. I think it's going to be probably 12 to 18 months before you actually see a significant shift in that. And at the end of the day, it's really frustrating for those people that are trying to advertise for those specific industries and products and services. But you've got to look at the long-term scale of these companies like Google and Facebook, because the majority of their revenue is not going to be generated off of those industries. And again, they have to protect the integrity of their platforms, of their users, and make sure they're giving them the best experience possible.
Yeah, I mean, we've had conversations directly with Google and their legal team with some of the clients that we work with to address, you know, what do we need to do to be compliant? Because you're right, they're trying to protect protect their users to make sure that there's no problems, you know, money-wise or like you said, or fraud or stealing their data. So I just thought it was interesting. I mean, you obviously spend a ton of time and money in that space, and I'm watching as it changes and evolves as well. So it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But with you, I'm super bullish on the opportunities in the media. And I tell people that I don't think there's ever been a greater time in the world to start a business with the low barriers to entry now with both social and online media.
I would agree with you 100%. It's one of the best times ever in the history to create a business, to create a brand. At the same time, there's so much competition because anybody can open up an e-commerce store, open up a social channel, you're fighting all this noise. There's over 60 billion messages sent on digital platforms each day. Because there's that huge opportunity, there's that huge competition level. So really going in and creating your own business, your own brand, or trying to scale something you've already built, you've got to really figure out how to differentiate your product, how to differentiate your service or your brand. You have to find a way to overcome the noise and stand out and get people to really share your content, your products and services at the highest possible velocity. Because that's the only way that you will win in today's climate is really to get in. How are you providing value to the world? How are you providing value through your brand, through your product, through your service? And use a testing process to really figure out how to package that so that you can get your audience, your customer base to do the heavy lifting for you and to share your content at the highest possible velocity.
Well, a question then on the testing, because, you know, I think where you're at, I think is a brilliant space to be. But so for our listeners that are listening saying, okay, this sounds really good. It sounds like a lot of work. And to your point that there's a lot of competition out there. If we looked at 100 people that are running digital advertising right now, how many of them do you think are testing at your level?
Less than 1%.
Okay. So there you go, listeners. There's your opportunity. If you want to crush it and really make money online, you know, go look at the...
And I'm saying that going up against some of the largest media agencies in the world. So, I mean, I've lived and gone up against literally people that are managing hundreds of millions of dollars of budget, and they're not going to this level of granularity. And you say, is this a lot of work? Yes, it's a lot of work. But to build a business, to build a brand...
Yeah.
You need to spend the time. You need to spend the effort. If you're not willing to put in the hard work to test content and to figure out how to package your message in the most effective way possible, you're in the wrong business because everything takes work. It's just, are you willing to work harder than your competitors? Are you willing to get smarter than your competitors? If you're not willing to take the time to figure out how to package your content, test your content, and really learn what it takes to get customers or your core audience to engage with your content or purchase your product or services, you're ultimately just going to fail.
Yeah, absolutely. That's so true. Yep. So I'm a big fan of the Blue Ocean strategy. So go where your competitors aren't. And that's going to be doing deep testing and analytics and making sure that you're super fine focused on who your customer is and where to find them.
Yeah. And just to give you another example, and I'm not into politics at all, but there was an article released about the past election of Clinton versus Trump. And it was amazing that they said that Clinton generated, I think, 70,000 variations of content that they were testing on social channels versus Trump's campaign tested over 6 million variations of content. That just tells you the level of effort and work and time that went into really optimizing and understand what core messages are going to get people to take an intended action. And in this case was to vote in the upcoming election.
Yeah, and I think lots of times that's what businesses miss is that, you know, because, you know, this may be the first time they've heard it, they don't realize that people are doing it, but the guys who are really moving the dial are paying attention to this.
100%.
Well, I want to say thanks so much for taking time out of your day, and you live in a great place. We love hanging out in Santa Monica. I normally come down there at least once or twice a year and do the Gold's Gym and the Bullet Coffee and under the firehouse, and so like where you hang out.
Great. Well, let me know next time you're down here. We'll have to meet up in person.
That'd be awesome. One question before I let you go. Who's one guest you think I absolutely have to have on my podcast?
Oh, that's a great question. What topic is most interesting to you? What topic are you underserved on?
I think right now I'm looking for AI and bots.
AI and bots. So there's a guy named Neil Sahota that I'm working with that was one of the chief officers at IBM that was creating a lot of their artificial intelligence technology. And he is so well versed on the topic and where it's at. So I can make an introduction to him. So he's really intelligent and in a great conversation.
That'd be awesome. So thanks again for taking your time. Listeners, we're going to transcribe all the notes. I'll make sure that there's a link to Brendan's book, 1 Million Followers, as well as his website and his social media platforms. It looks like your favorite platforms right now are Facebook, Instagram, and I see that you're also on LinkedIn. Is that the best place for people to find you on social?
Yep.
Excellent. So thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to serving you in our next upcoming episode.
That's all for this episode of Real Marketing Real Fast. Now it's time to take your marketing to the next level by visiting DougMorneau.com and downloading our advanced marketing white papers, as well as exclusive resources based on today's episode. That's DougMorneau.com. Until next time, we look forward to serving you right here on Real Marketing Real Fast.